Right on this computer. So welcome to Bee's Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations about business and our economy. And because we can, we've migrated our podcast to a video format so you can both listen and watch as we get to know guests from across the business community. And my name is Bee Kyle. I'm the president and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce. And in the weeks to come, we have several conversations scheduled with business leaders from various sectors. As of this recording, as a nation and world, we are coping with the COVID-19 pandemic and ensuing seizure of the economy. So the conversations ahead are especially thought-provoking. My guest today is a friend, a SPAC board member, and talented executive in his own right in the arena of government affairs. Jim Pearson is the manager and state government affairs. Excuse me, the manager of state government affairs at Xcel Energy. And prior to his 9+ year tenure at Xcel Energy, Jim was deputy commissioner with the Department of Commerce. He's also an alum of the University of Minnesota and a busy dad. So Jim, welcome. Thanks for sitting down with me today.
Yeah, thanks, Bee. It's fun to be here. This is, we're all getting used to these different formats, but it's fun to be able to see faces at least, so.
Very much so. If you don't mind, I'd like to pause about deputy commissioner with the Department of Commerce. I didn't know that about you. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was?
Well, the Commerce Department at the state is one of my favorite places. You know, it's from an employee count size, it's relatively small in the grand scheme of state government, but it oversees over 20 different industries, and so it makes it a fun place to work. I spent 15 years there. I started as a student, part-time employee, and kind of worked my way up. Now, commerce, you have to keep in mind, commerce is unique. It does have multiple deputies, and so I served in one of the deputy positions and oversaw a lot of different things there at commerce. It was also during a time of the stimulus dollars. And so we had a lot of stuff going on in the area of energy and human resources and budgeting and all those things. So good agency, fun place to work. I learned a lot.
Were you one of the fortunate young people I always admired who, because I was not one of them, who kind of knew what he wanted to do when he was young, such that you started out there?
No, definitely not. It's kind of funny. I was going to the University of Minnesota, and I was in the liberal arts college there. And I really got interested in politics, international relations. And this was, of course, 1989. And in 1989, the world was changing around us. That fascinated me. And long story short, I lived in Germany for 5 years in the 1990s, did a lot of different things there. That just kind of whet the appetite. And so as I came back to Minnesota, I was very interested in government. Was fortunate enough to land at the Commerce Department and work around the legislature, and I've just continued that since. So
we have to keep talking about Germany, because I remember last year when you and I first had a conversation about the fact that we were in Germany at about the same time doing some different things. I left in 1990, so I was there. When you speak of 1989, that was, of course, the biggest year in my history experience relative to the wall coming down, and I lived over there during that time period and such. Right. How did living in West Germany and then United Germany, how did that impact your experience of the world?
Well, it just broadened my horizons. You know, I'm born and raised in Minnesota, and, you know, I really hadn't traveled much at all. And then I put myself on a plane and off to Germany I went. And so I had a duffel bag and a mountain bike, and, so it was exceptional for me, because not only was I lucky in terms of timing and all of the things going on in the world and fascinated and, you know, being able to experience some of that. But it really helped me grow, understand and appreciate, where I grew up, where I come from, all of those things. But also put some of that in perspective. And there's a lot of ways to do different things. And, I like to do it. You know, my kids give me a hard time about being pretty anal or wanting it, you know, certain things done a certain way. But you know, what I really realized is, you know, that doesn't mean it's the right way. It just means the way I like to do it. And so it really, I think, you know, broadened my horizons, not to mention all of the experiences and the growth opportunity that comes through that.
You know, it's only a young person who's going to have a duffel bag and a bike and go across the world and say, I can do this. This is great. Yeah, and you did. It was great.
Yeah, it did. It really, like I say, I learned a lot, and I wouldn't trade those years for anything. So, you know, it did. It helped me, you know, by learning the language. Of course, that helped me at the University of Minnesota, bringing that back. I then, after I got my bachelor's degree, I was able to go back and work in an exchange program where I was placed with a member of parliament. So, you know, I just kept on that track, and it just kept feeding, and I kept learning. But at some point, you know, you have to, you know, plant some roots and figure out what you want to do. And that's why I came back to Minnesota, and I wanted to be part of state government. Government works well in Minnesota. So I had a great experience there. And as I moved through the different roles at the Commerce Department, energy really became the area, the sector that I was most interested, most fascinated by. And it's kind of that passion piece comes out, and that's really where I want to go. And you know, it's good to be lucky. I just happened to be looking for a change when there was an opening in the lobbying team. And I've been part of that lobbying team now at Xcel Energy. We've done 10 sessions as a three-person team, Rick and Grani and I. We really work well together. It's a ton of fun, and I really love the role I'm in.
Well, it's fascinating to me how many successful people say that I'm lucky. You know, there's a lot to be said for showing up, working hard, and translating that into luck. It's a bit of modesty on your part. I know of your reputation, and you are well thought of in the space, in part because of how hard you work and how dedicated you are. So I'm delighted we could spend some time with you today.
Thank you.
So it's good. The timing of our having a conversation is great, particularly as we're in the midst of coping with COVID-19. Today's May 21st, and just yesterday, the governor provided the next level of guidance relative to reopening the economy. And so you and I have chatted a little bit about this in terms of impact to your business. Size makes a difference. Sector makes a difference. What can you tell us about the energy sector and how it's being impacted by the pandemic, both now and into the future?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question, Bea. I think a couple of things come to mind. One, you know, we are Minnesota's largest utility. We operate in 8 states. So we have broad operations, lots of employees. We have about a third of our workforce that continues to go to the workplace every day and do what they do. These are the men and women in our power plants, the men and women who, you know, are critical to the functioning of our systems. And so whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a storm, these are things that as a company, we really are good at. We practice, we do tabletop exercise, we've got these plans. So from that standpoint, we're uniquely positioned to be able to kind of withstand a lot of the pressures. They're not new to us. At the same time, this pandemic is different than a storm that goes through. Obviously, the duration, you know, I've been one of the Xcel employees who has been working remotely now since the middle of March. So about 2/3 of our workforce is out of the office, working from home. You know, so that has been obviously a new experience. I give the company a lot of credit in our preparation. Again, it comes down to that. We have just the technology tools available to do that. And so I'm as frustrated as I am not being able to sit with you, you know, personally, or roam the halls of City Hall or the Capitol stay in touch with people on a personal level. I am able to do what we need to do as a company. And so I think that obviously goes across the company. But what, you know, the challenge for us is, again, we're kind of built to withstand some of these pressures, but a lot of our customers, you know, they're in different places. And so we've really tried to listen and understand how this is developing and how it's affecting them. So, you know, the first thing out of the gate was obvious, you know, when everybody either through, you know, working from home or the stay at home order, you know, affordability is always an issue. And so moving forward, obviously we suspended any disconnections of our residential customers during this time. So that's an important step to make sure that if people are struggling financially, that they're also not losing, you know, electricity or gas service. So, you know, that's a step we can do to help in the short term with some of our customers. Obviously, we have other customers who are in different financial position. Maybe they need a payment plan. So we certainly work on that and talk to them. And so we're seeing a lot of differences in the market. But as you and I have talked about on other occasions, we generally see it kind of a lag. So, you know, where you're in the hospitality industry, boom, you got hit right away. What we're seeing obviously is going to be probably 6-8 months down as our businesses and factories, production is aligned, you know, large energy users, as they're affected, obviously that hits us. It just takes a little longer for us to see some of that. But we know it's happening. And so we want to make sure that we're thinking about all of those things we can do to help our customers.
So when you think about the economic recovery, and, you know, and when all this began and we started talking about, well, the second half of 2020, we should see, you know, generally a recovery because the fundamentals are good. The truth is some of us won't even begin to really feel the impact until the second half of the year.
Right.
Or continuing through the second half of the year. So not only are sectors different, but also jobs within a sector. So you spend a lot of time up at the legislature, and so much of your work is about those interpersonal relationships. So how is it that we're trying to get, you know, work done during the session this year when you can't do it face-to-face, when you can't be roaming the halls, as it were, kind of hearing the scuttlebutt and getting some inside information, or for that matter, business done between meetings? How did that impact your experience of the session this year?
Well, it makes it no fun. You know, all of the work and the hours that you put up there, you know, that's, you know, obviously there's a lot of going, you know, a lot of back and forth, and it's those little interactions in the hallway with a member, with a friend, a colleague, a fellow lobbyist, somebody from the administration. That's kind of what makes it fun. And so, you know, we tend to be glued to these and, you know, phone calls, texting, all that stuff, but it's not nearly as fun. You know, you can't meet somebody for a morning coffee, you know, finish the day with a beer, even when you're on different sides of the issue. All of those things that I think make it a unique place, that's kind of what's been stripped away. So, but, you know, it is what it is. And certainly we're sympathetic to, you know, a lot of folks who are in different positions here. And so one of the things that we're really starting to look toward doing is, are there things that we as a company can do to reinvest and aid in the recovery? And I think in particular in the regulatory arena, I think we can do some. In fact, the commission has asked us to bring us and other utilities to bring ideas forward that maybe we could expedite some projects, some things that we're thinking about doing as a way to, again, give that Minnesota economy a boost out of the gate here, try to keep things going, keep opportunities. So, you know, we're really turning our focus to those concrete things. We've got anywhere from 11 to 15 different things that we're talking about internally. We'll be bringing those things forward here next month. And that's one way we can really help. So that's exciting to be part of those conversations and figure out how we can make investments to help Minnesota's and Minnesota's economy and others get back to work.
You know, I think that is such a statement to the fundamentals that are still solid, right? I was talking to Ben Humphrey over at Delta earlier this week, and they're doing a similar thing, right? That they're losing money. We all are.
Right.
But I mean, extraordinary numbers, right? Over $40 million a day.
Right.
And yet they're saying now's the time to invest, which is so forward thinking.
Right.
Now's the time to invest in construction projects. Now, and what that tells me is there's this underlying hope, right? That
the
fundamentals are there. The situation is pervasive and tragic, And there's hope for what tomorrow will bring, such that we're willing to invest in that. And that speaks to the strength and for what's ahead, wouldn't you say?
Right. I would. I would really agree. And I think, you know, we've got kind of two main pillars. Those investments, you know, Xcel Energy is in the midst of a clean energy transition. So that creates opportunities in clean energy to expedite some investments that maybe we were looking in the mid 2020s to do. Maybe we can bring those forward a couple years, things like that. And then the other thing is just our involvement in the community. And I know you and I have talked about this many times, you know, obviously, NSP during different names over our 110-year history, Xcel Energy obviously is the company name now. But you know, we've been in our communities for 110 years, and one of the things that we see is that anchor position as a community member must go on. And so, when we talk about our foundation work, the first thing we did there is to really create flexibility within the grants that we provide so they can go to general operating things for those entities, because that's really where those nonprofits are getting hit. So just little subtle changes like that in how grant dollars can be used is meaningful for a lot of our partners. It's a small thing we can do to help. Sponsorships, you know, we're involved in a lot of different things across our footprint here and the other states. We want to maintain our commitment to those sponsorships because, again, the organizations that we sponsor, those partnerships, they're hurting. We see that. So certainly don't want to exacerbate that problem by, you know, pulling back. So we want to maintain our commitment on our sponsorships, even though a lot of those sponsorships look a little different. And then, you know, another thing I'd mention too is, you know, we had an opportunity with one of our power plants that we recently purchased to trade it. And, you know, that those opportunities come up, and we were able to make a financial gain on that. And we're taking that gain, and as we move through that process here through 2020, we expect that transaction to close in the third quarter. But as those dollars become available, those are dollars we want to reinvest in the community. Again, these are, you know, the city of St. Paul, what Mayor Carter's done with the Bridge Fund, you know, all of these concepts are ways that some of us who are fortunate to be anchors in the community, we need to continue to do. And those are the kind of the shorter term things that are really important to a recovery, as well as maybe the longer term things that I mentioned, you know, in terms of reinvesting on our clean energy transition or expediting some of those investments. So all of these things have to come together. Kind of, you know, makes me think of the chamber and all the members you have, and big and small. You know, that's the beauty of a chamber, is that we have a venue to be together, hear from each other, understand where we're hurting, and figure out how to leverage some of our strengths.
That's been a real learning for me in these last few years. Is, and I'm an observer of people, and I see these leadership organizations, and I consider Xcel to be at the top of that list in terms of our experience, taking that role of leadership and anchor institution seriously. You know, you acknowledge it and you own it and you contribute in a way that's extraordinary. I find that fascinating. And I think it speaks to the economy we have here in terms of just the number of strong, and I don't even mean strong financially, I mean strong ethically, and with the values of community that Xcel demonstrates, is extraordinary to me. You're one of our big sponsors, since you mentioned the chamber, and what Xcel has done for us has over the many, many years has been extraordinary. So it's important for you to get that moment, if you don't mind my saying so, Jim, of thanks for the leadership that Xcel has demonstrated. So pause on that if you don't mind my doing so. Yeah, and then we talk about...
Sure, thank you.
Well, thank you. When you talk about community and how Xcel Energy presents in the community, it's not only a company, but it's also people. So we've got, tell me how you've got a 3-person team that does lobbying at the state level for Xcel Energy. Is that right?
Correct.
And then how do you connect with the different communities? So I've gotten to know you over the last few years. You invest in the community as individuals too, beyond the company. You bring your own selves in. So you work with the East Metro. How do you break that out?
Right. So, you know, I have the pleasure of working for John Marshall, who oversees all of our community relations managers. So we have, you know, John's got me in St. Paul. He's got Sarah, my colleague Sarah Barrow in Minneapolis. He's got, you know, a team of people that represent the cities and service areas that Xcel Energy has in Minnesota. John also oversees that role in the Dakotas. So he's a great, you know, most people probably listening to this know John, and he's a wonderful person to work for. So, you know, that's part of, again, you know, we have people that are in the community doing, you know, working on these issues every day. And it takes that team mentality, that team approach to do it. Obviously, the foundation, the work we do there to support different nonprofits throughout Minnesota, you know, that's another really important piece to doing it. So there's just a variety of ways where we're connected. If you just take the number of Xcel Energy people in Minnesota who serve on boards of various types, there's somewhere between 90 to 95 of us who serve on boards. I have the pleasure of serving on three boards. And so you see that our employees generally, whether they're kind of in the community relations space or the government affairs space or whatever space they're in, they're just really active, caring people. And I think, again, it's part of who we are because we've always been a big part of the communities we've served. We don't pick up our poles and wires and move, you know, to a different state or to a, you know, a different production area. This is home, and this is where we want to be. This is what we're about. So that's just part of our culture.
Well, I love being able to put faces behind, in front of the name of a company. My experience is when I hear folks who don't appreciate the nature of big business, I the more you personalize it, the more you realize it's still filled with a bunch of people doing the work. And in that, on that vein, when you talk about paying it forward, you mentioned a little bit about what you've been doing on behalf of the community. How have you seen companies, and Xcel Energy in particular, really committing to, I mean, there's been support of nonprofits. There's been, as you've talked about, relief of the burden of losing power. I'm guessing this has been a real intentional commitment on your part to do this kind of work.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think a big part of, you know, the you know, when you think about paying it forward is really, it's not just one thing. It's something that, you know, certain things we can anticipate. It's pretty easy to anticipate that if people are going to be told to be at home, that they need service. So, you know, those things right out of the gate are pretty easy to kind of come up with. But a big part, you know, it's not just being doing that one thing and then being done. A big part of this, especially as we learn more, you know, when John said, "Hey, Jim, you know, clean up your office. You're going to be working from home for the first 2 weeks." That's kind of what I thought. Now this is either my 10th or 11th week. And so, you know, as we learn more, we're realizing, well, yeah, we need to make changes. And that is an ongoing process. And so I mentioned some of the things we did out of the gate. I mentioned, you know, really starting to focus in a concrete way on recovery and reinvestment. You know, so that's really where we're going. And as we hear from the administration, as we hear from the science community in terms of what this pandemic is all about, we constantly are making adjustments. But first and foremost, you have to listen to your customers. And so we continue to do that and try to adapt.
So let's talk about adapting for a minute, because here, you're an extrovert who's locked in his house. So managing quality of life, what are you doing to keep the balance, keep the mental health, keep the physical health, you know, keep yourself sharp? What are you doing?
Well, I love to be outside. So fortunately for me, I'd had a lot of wood that had kind of piled up on me that was intended to be split. And, you know, segregated for maybe my bonfire versus, you know, what I burn in my fireplace. So that was my first thing as I went after, but that didn't last too long. I had all that in proper shape, you know, within a couple of weeks. So thankfully the weather gets nicer. We have the good fortune of having a pontoon on White Bear Lake. That is something that we can do. So I've managed to get out there once. So we'll try to make that a little bit more frequent. And then, of course, I love to work in the yard. So, it's been interesting as I, you know, as we're all outside, you see so many more people out walking, and you know, certainly
right? My experience, you're starting to see your neighbors. You're getting to know your neighbors.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and that's fun, and you know, I think we all have an understanding about where we're at, and so I've noticed people seem to be, you know, even more friendly than usual, and I mm-hmm. think you know, that's been kind of fun to see. You really mm-hmm. do see so many more people out and about, and I was on a webinar recently where, you know, we were talking about all this uncertainty, and you know, the thing that we can take from it is, do something nice. That is something that you can never go wrong with. Emphasizing that in this time is a good thing to do. And so certainly take that to heart too. But love to be outside. I'll do anything to be outside. So that's what keeps me fresh.
That's awesome. I admire you because I think I consider you to be a deep thinker. And I'm interested in your thoughts about a theme that I'm hearing, particularly as a region, you know, from business perspective, we're talking about how not to just return to normal, but how to reimagine something better. I mean, when I think about some positive takeaways from this, I'm learning that Zoom works pretty well, or Skype, or GoToMeeting, you know, the virtual experience. Yeah. It's still not as nice as a hug. I know Joe Johnston from 5 Eyewitness News recently posted, you know, when I see you and I get to hug you, I'm going to make it weird because I want to hug you for a really long time. So outside of that, you know, the experience of digital connections, I see we're going to bring that forward, right? I see us bringing forward this idea that we're a broad, bigger community. And if we can connect this way, we can reach a lot more people. When you reimagine the future in a small way, what can we take from this that's positive, but also how can we do things not just back to normal, but better? What are some thoughts that have crossed your mind?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know, one of the things that we can do better is, you know, meet each other on their terms. Be mm-hmm. open and understanding and observant of how different people react to different situations. And so, you know, B, this is a topic through your equity work that you've, you know, prior to the COVID-19 crisis, you know, we were already talking about some of these things at the chambers, you know, again, being aware of, you know, how to engage and how to meet people and understand where folks are coming from and not just kind of doing it the same old way that you learned, mm-hmm. but to be open and accepting to new ways of doing things. And so, you know, for our business, there are going to be certain elements that will remain the same and really haven't changed. You know, we need people in our control centers at our power plants to do the work that they've been trained to do. It's really people in my role that I think will see a lot of difference. And I think you're right. We will see these virtual tools continue. I think on the other side, we're going to really see some people who are really eager to get back to face to face and sitting down with people. So I just think, you know, we're just going to have a lot more ways to be together. And I mm-hmm. think some of those things, you know, they're going to be different. As I alluded to, I can be kind of anal and do it, you know, I want to do it my own way. But I just think, you know, if we're open to meeting each other in different ways and understanding that, you know, we accept these risks that we encounter through whether it's COVID or other things in different ways as people, and being aware of that and understanding that, you know, my assessment of a situation and its risk to me and my family may be different than somebody else's. Mm-hmm. opportunities afforded to me may be different than, you know, opportunities afforded to others. And I think as that awareness is out there and we continue to learn to acknowledge that and talk about it, I think that will be an improvement from where we were.
Appreciate that. And that actually ties into a question that I really like to add, because as you know, I'm not a lifer in the chamber community, right? My background is the private sector. And then spent years at the Port Authority learning what economic development was all about, which has been a real growth area for me. So now I lead a chamber, an idea with these really impressive companies, yours included. And my initial thought is, I don't understand the local value proposition for a chamber for these national organizations, international organizations in many cases. So, but I'm learning, and I'd like to know from you and from your perspective, what is the real value proposition for your organization to invest in a regional chamber of commerce?
Well, I think it comes down to community. You know, we touched on that a little bit earlier, but you know, we are anchored in our communities, and chambers of commerce are great representatives of the community. You know, you have members who are small, who are large, who are in all sorts of different segments, sectors, different emphasis. You have for-profit, you have nonprofit, you have higher ed, you have, you know, all sorts of different members. And I think it's a microcosm of our community as a whole. And so for us, you know, and I'm guilty of this, as you know, you kind of get locked in your little lane, and you know, I can talk about energy all day long, and I'm super happy to do it. But the value of being in the chamber environment is, you know, being a member of the chamber, there's only so much tolerance for me going on and on about energy. You know, we want to talk about other things. So I love that. That keeps me grounded, keeps me in my place. And you know, the other thing that I think is fun too is Xcel Energy is a big company. You know, you've got some big members, and sometimes when you're dealing with a big company and you're calling an 800 number because you've got an issue, it can be tough. And, you know, as best we do in terms of, you know, getting on the phone, and, you know, we always have live agents and things, sometimes that maze is a little tricky. And it's fun to be a person that is, like you said, I'm a face that comes along with the company. And when you know, somebody's got an issue, they think, yeah, you know what? I know Jim doesn't do that, but I bet he can help me find the person who does. And it's fun to be kind of a connector. And the chambers are connectors. And it's neat to be in that community. Like I said, it keeps me honest, keeps me grounded, and keeps me talking about other things than just energy.
That's amazing. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I want to just thank you again for chatting with me. We appreciate both your time and all that Xcel Energy is doing on behalf of the region and really all of the area you cover, 8 states. So do you have any final comments for me, Jim?
Well, no, I appreciate it. This is a fun thing. You know, like I said, I've been working from home for quite a while. So this is a different thing on my calendar. So I had a lot of fun doing it. Good. Of course, we're big fans of the work that you're doing at the chamber and the leadership you're providing. So it's fun to support you in that. And like I said, I'm just grateful for the opportunity and for breaking up the day a little bit. It's been fun to sit and chat with you.
Good. Appreciate it. Back at you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for Bee's Table Talk. We have more conversations in the weeks ahead, speaking to business leaders in the greater MSP region, hearing from them on how their companies are adapting to deal with COVID-19 and how they're paying it forward in the community. So thanks to all of you, and we will see you in the trenches.